I suppose you get stuff of that kind through your hands pretty often,
said Mr. Dillett, as he pointed with his stick to an object which shall be described when the time comes. And when he said it, he lied in his throat, and knew that he lied. Not once in 20 years, perhaps not once in a lifetime, could Mr. Chittenden, skilled as he was in ferreting out the forgotten treasures of half a dozen counties, expect to handle such a specimen. It was collector's palaver, and Mr. Chittenden recognized it as such.
Stuff of that kind, Mr. Dillett. It's a museum piece, that is.
Well, I suppose there are museums that'll take anything.
I've seen one, not as good as that, years back. But that's not likely to come into the market. And I'm told they have some fine ones of the period over the water. No, I'm only telling you the truth, Mr. Dillett, when I was to say that if you was to place an unlimited order with me for the very best that could be got, and you know I have facilities for getting to know such things, and a reputation to maintain, well, all I can say is I should lead you straight up to that one and say, I can't do no better for you than that, sir.
Here, here. And how much are you sticking the innocent American buyer for it, eh?
Oh, I shan't be overhard on the buyer, American or otherwise. You see, it stands this way, Mr. Dillett. If I knew just a bit more about the pedigree...
Or just a bit less.
You will have your joke, sir. No, but as I was saying, if I knew just a little more than what I do about the piece, though anyone can see for themselves it's a genuine thing, every last corner of it, and there's not been one of my men allowed to so much as touch it since it came into the shop, there'd be another figure in the price I'm asking.
And what's that? 25?
Multiply that by 3 and you've got it, sir. 75's my price.
And 50's mine.
The point of agreement was, of course, somewhere between the two. It does not matter exactly where. I think 60 guineas. But half an hour later, the object was being packed. And within an hour, Mr. Dillett had called for it in his car and driven away. Mr. Chittenden, holding the check in his hand, saw him off from the door with smiles, and returned, still smiling, into the parlor where his wife was making the tea.
Thank God for that,
said Mrs. Chittenden, putting down the teapot.
Mr. Dillett, was it?
Yes, it was.
Well, I'd sooner it was him than another.
Oh, I don't know. He ain't a bad feller, my dear.
Maybe not, but in my opinion, he'd be none the worse for a bit of a shake-up.
Well, if that's your opinion, it's my opinion he's put himself into the way of getting one. Anyhow, we shan't have no more of it, and that's something to be thankful for.
And so Mr. and Mrs. Chittenden sat down to tea. And what of Mr. Dillett and his new acquisition? What it was, the title of this story will have told you. What it was like, I shall have to indicate as well as I can. There was only just enough room for it in the car, and Mr. Dillett had to sit with the driver. He had also to go slow, for though the rooms of the doll's house had all been stuffed carefully with soft cotton wool, jolting was to be avoided, in view of the immense number of small objects which thronged them. And the 10-mile drive was an anxious time for him, in spite of all the precautions he insisted upon. At last, his front door was reached, and Collins, the butler, came out.
Look here, Collins. You must help me with this thing. It's a delicate job. We must get it out upright, see? It's full of little things that mustn't be displaced more than we can help. Now let's see. Where shall we have it? Really, I think I shall have to put it in my own room. To begin with, at any rate.